Well, as I bring you greetings this morning, I also bring greetings from a number of families within our church family who I've been in contact with this week. I can think of, at least 7 or 8 families that have had to evacuate because they're in areas of risk. I don't know of anyone yet who has actually had fire damage, but a number are evacuated. And there are some also in evacuation warning zones that don't feel good about leaving their homes. We completely understand that. And also there are a few who are at evacuation centers helping out to feed those that have evacuated. I know Wendell and Nancy are down at the Salvation Army Center in Petaluma. Carl, our deacon who's usually at the gate, is up helping to rescue horses for someone that lives just above him. And we're spread all over. But it's good to see you here today. I'm so thankful that you were able to come and worship. And God bless you. We're praying that all of you are safe and well. And thank you for reaching out. I know we have a church family. We're small, but we reach out to others. So I'm grateful for your spirit of helping those in need this week. When we met for our board this past week, we discovered that there's a special need in one of our mission organizations that we support. It's called Bridges. Bridges is a local ministry reaching out to women who are pregnant and giving them an alternative to abortion if they were considering that. And they're a ministry to help women go through pregnancy, help the husband, the father of the child as well, as he goes through this. Every year they have as their biggest fundraiser what is called the Baby Bottle Blast. We participate in that, where we fill baby bottles with money, and then that goes to help. They budget every year for, I think it's $65,000. They weren't able to do that at all this year because of the churches being closed. And so what we're going to do this morning, if you would like to, we have a missions box back there next to our offering box. Anything you put in the missions box this morning, unless you want to mark it for something else, we will give to Bridges, maybe this week and maybe even next week, to help them over this hump. They're in a real desperate situation right now, as I know most of our missions are. But God has God has blessed our church through this so much. Our finances are better off than normal. We are able to pay all of our bills, support all of our missions, and still have a little bit left over for other expenses. So we thank God for that. But we don't want to forget our missions. And so if you want to bless Bridges this morning, put your money into that missions box over there. It was also brought up at our board meeting that when church is over with, when things get to where we can do this, if any of you want to bring a sack lunch or a box lunch and just stay and have lunch together, feel free to do that. We will not do that officially as a church because we're not able to do anything with food because of the coronavirus. But if any of you want to bring your own and sit at the tables or sit here under the tree and have a lunch, that would be a something you can certainly do. As we go to prayer this morning, we have a number of prayer needs. And one of those, of course, is for our evacuees. Pray for everyone. We're not out of danger yet. We who are here and many of us who live, we're out of the danger zone, but many are still in that zone. And the fire is not contained. The latest I heard this morning, as of 7:18 this morning, the two fires, the Wallbridge and the Stewart fire, have merged. The Stewart fire is the one over by Hillsburg. The Wallbridge, the one north of Guerneville. Now it's one fire, which is, I think, from what I understand, a good sign because the perimeter then is easier to define. But that's still above Guerneville. It hasn't crossed the Russian River yet. God is sparing everyone on that side of the river. But keep our evacuees in prayer, if you would, and just that God would watch over them and bring everyone through this safely. I know you are, but just a reminder of that. Two weekends ago, Miles Chenoweth, a 28-year-old man, the son of Steve Chenoweth, who Miles grew up in Occidental Community Church, attended our school here. He was on in just above Occidental. He had parked along Bohemian Highway and was walking along the highway to go to a wedding. A pickup truck came around the corner quickly, hit him, and killed him. He was in a coma for a day or so, but he never really regained consciousness. So pray for the Chenoweth family, Steve, and I believe Miles' sister is named Jacqueline. Pray for them. They're grieving right now. They're planning a private service for Miles. And then later on, when things get a little bit easier, they'll have a celebration of life somewhere, and they'll let us know when that's going to happen. But our hearts go out to the Chenoweth family at Steve's loss. School opens September 8th. That's 2 weeks and of just a few days from now. So pray for the school as with in the midst of everything else that's going on. The teachers prepare for this. In fact, one of the evacuees is our principal, Beth, and her family who live up in North Forestville. They've had to evacuate. But pray that God would make it so that we can start school on September 8th, and we would appreciate that. Oh, do we have a new teacher? Who is that? Patty Fletcher from Rincon Valley Christian will be a third and fourth grade teacher. Wonderful. So we have all of our teachers in place, and we have about, is it 55 or 56? Yeah, that are enrolled this year, which is a good number for us, being down the last couple of years. So pray that God would go before us and prepare the way for a good opening on September the 8th. A new what? Oh, yes. Caitlin Jacobs is the new bookkeeper at the school, too, yeah. And by the way, when you came in, you saw that flat area there that's been prepared for our new modular. And that should be coming in early this week, maybe tomorrow, the next day. And that modular will give us needed space, indoor space for our school. So we're grateful that that's taking place. Any other requests this morning before I lead us in prayer? Anyone has? All right, let's pray together. Lord, we are in difficult times. Stressful times, frightening times. And Lord, we know that you are greater than all and you are above all and you are protecting your world and your people. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that your divine protection would be over all of us, all of our families, and not just our families, Lord, but everyone, whether they're believers or not. We want our community, Father, to be safe and to be rescued from these fires. We want this coronavirus pandemic to come to an end, Lord. And we pray for this, Father. We know you love this world and that as you remind us that as you watch over the birds of the air, the flowers of the field, you certainly watch over your creation created in the image of God, mankind, who are even more important than these other things, Lord. So we appeal to you, Heavenly Father, to help us, especially be with those who have had to leave their homes, not knowing if they're going to come back to a home that's still there. Bless them, watch over them, take care of them, Lord. We pray for the Chenoweth family. We grieve over the loss of Miles that a number of people right here knew and love. And we pray, Heavenly Father, your blessing upon them and your mercy as they grieve the loss of Miles. Be with Steve and his family. Be with Jacqueline, Miles' sister, Lord, and we pray that they might be strong in the Lord and trust in you, Father, for their grief. Lord, we pray for our school. We thank you for this wonderful Christian school that for 38 years has been right here in this location, how you have helped us through so many difficult times, and now we're in another difficult time, Lord. We thank you that everything is in place. We're ready to begin a new year. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that in these next few days, you would get us completely prepared both physically, mentally, financially, emotionally, that we will have a good beginning to a new school year. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you will be with our missionaries wherever they are, because we know that when the church has to suffer, the missions suffer. One of the first places where churches have to cut back or do cut back is in the area of missions, Lord. And I pray that that our missionaries, both local and foreign, will be okay through this. And I pray that, I thank you for that our church has been able to take care of our financial obligations to our missionaries, and even more so, Lord, when we know there's a special need. So, Lord, watch over them. And Heavenly Father, I pray for each one that's here this morning. I don't know what's going on in the hearts of each one that's here, but I know that we're here, and we thank you that the weather is cleared. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the beautiful morning we have in spite of what's going on around us. It's just a reminder to you, to us, Lord, that you are a God of all, and that this is your world. And ultimately, Lord, if we trust in you, you will take care of us. Thank you. And now as we turn to your word, Lord, we pray your blessing upon us. Guide us and give us strength and give us encouragement through your word this morning. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, get your scripture sheets out, or if you didn't pick one up, they're back at the table. We're in Exodus chapter 16 this morning, looking at verses 16 to 33. And as we began August, we began doing a series of messages through the wilderness experiences of the Israelites. And some may wonder why, with everything that's going on around us, why are we studying something that happened over 3,000 years ago? What has that got to do with us today? A lot. The verse that is guiding us through the study is in 1 Corinthians 10:11, which says, "These things," meaning the wilderness experience among other things in the Old Testament, "happened to them as examples, and they were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So that if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." So God's word tells us that these things happened, and they're examples for us, and we have to make sure we take heed to what we read through, even in the Old Testament experiences of the Israelites in the wilderness, that we don't fall in our faith, and we don't give up, and we don't lose hope in God. And the reason we get so much out of the Old Testament are two reasons that I can think of. Number one, human nature does not change. From the beginning, Adam and Eve, up until now, we have the same needs, we have the same longings, we have the same spiritual anxieties, we have the same relationship issues as men and women have always had. So the nature of the Israelites is the nature that we have within ourselves. Human nature is the same always. And then secondly, God doesn't change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so is Jesus. So because of the unchanging nature of God and the unchanging nature of man, what we read in the Old Testament can really make a difference in our lives. In our in the studies, we've come to the, I've entitled my message this morning, Manna from Heaven. The experience of the Israelites being sustained every day with food called manna, which means, what is it? As it dropped from heaven and fell on the ground, which they were to gather every day. And the manna fed them for 40 years until they entered the Promised Land. And the day they set foot in the Promised Land, the Bible says, the manna from heaven stopped falling because they had food to eat in the Promised Land. A number of years ago, a London newspaper called the Daily Mail decided that they were going to scour the world and find the manna in the world, the most ideal food in all the world, kind of like the manna in the wilderness, that would sustain the whole world if we had nothing else. And they had three criteria. It had to be available to everyone, everywhere. It had to be cost-effective. You had to be able to afford it. and it had to have some nutritional value. And they assigned one reporter to find the ideal food in the world. And they published the results. And here are the results. The cheapest, most nutritious, most bountiful food that has ever existed in human history is the McDonald's McDouble Burger that you can buy anywhere in the world for about a dollar. This is serious. They were doing a series, and that's what they came up with, that the McDonald's McDouble Burger is the food. That's the manna today. Can you imagine waking up every morning and finding McDonald's burgers on the ground for you to eat every day for 40 years? I think a lot might decide, I think I'll fast for 40 years. But as I read that, I thought, you know, they said it's the most nutritious, bountiful, cheapest food that ever existed in human history. Well, they left out the wilderness. They forgot that food, which was available, which was bountiful, which cost nothing except going out and gathering it, and which sustained the Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness. Now, I would imagine that they supplemented that with other things when they could, but that was their staple every day for 40 years. And before I get into the lesson this morning of the text, look in the back of your scripture sheet, because there is a spiritual application of the manna in the New Testament. And this is where we come in here. Our manna. What is our manna today? What is the food that sustains us spiritually today? Here's what John chapter 6, verse 30 to 35 says. The crowds asked Jesus, "What miraculous sign will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." You see, you and I have a thirst, not a physical thirst. We have that, but we have an inner spiritual thirst for fulfillment, meaning, and life. And we find that in Jesus. He is the one that when I believe in him and trust in him and fellowship with him, when I come away from that fellowship, I will never go hungry or thirsty again. That's his promise. And we have that as a daily reminder as we come to Jesus. So this morning, let's go to the text and find some lessons for us today. The first lesson is one of personal responsibility when it comes to gathering your manna or having that relationship with Jesus. This is what the Lord has commanded, Exodus 16:16. "Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." An omer was about 2 quarts. So think of a half a gallon jug of milk. That's an omer. "The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much. And he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed." I think that's amazing. Not only was the provision of the manna by God's hand, but the gathering of the manna was by God's hand. If you didn't have the strength to gather as much as the next person, you still gathered everything you needed. And if you gathered more than you need when it was all over, you didn't have any left over. God not only blessed in the provision of the manna, but the gathering of the manna so that everyone had enough. And, you know, spiritually speaking, when you go to Jesus, whether you spend 5 minutes or 5 hours, you're going to come away with all you need. You never come away empty-handed when you go to Jesus Christ, our manna, the bread of life. He is sufficient for every spiritual need right here under this sycamore tree this morning. Also, each one was to gather. There was no You could not go out and hire gatherers to pick up your manna for the day. It was up to each person or each family, each tent, to get their own manna. When it comes to your relationship with Jesus, no one can do it for you. Coming to church Sunday morning is not enough. You need to go out every morning and gather your manna and strengthen your relationship with the Lord. I can't do it for you. Your partner, your husband, your wife, your parent, your sibling, no one can do it for you. God says go out and gather in the morning. Second lesson, a lesson in gathering, verses 19 to 21. Then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. Meaning, don't keep, when you gather in the morning, don't eat what you want and then save the rest for the next day. So don't keep any of it till the next morning, overnight. However, some paid no attention to Moses, which, what's new? Moses did not get a lot of support, a lot of appreciation from the Israelites. No one paid attention. Some paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it till morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as he needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. You know, some foods make great leftovers. Leftover spaghetti is outstanding. Leftover pizza is outstanding. But some foods don't make good leftovers. Manna made not good leftovers. It was full of maggots and worms. You didn't save it till the next day. You gathered it fresh every morning. And the lesson is in gathering here. When the Jewish child would ask his father, Father, when God gave the manna, why didn't he just give a week's worth of manna at the beginning of the week? Or even a month's worth of manna at the beginning of every month? Why did he have to give it new every morning? And the father would say, he would give him a parable, tell his children the parable of a king who had a son. And every year he gave him a very generous allowance for the year. On the day that his allowance was due to be given, there was the son before the king, and he gave them his allowance. But then, for the rest of the year, he never saw his son. The son was out enjoying the allowance and spending the money. And the king decided that, I need a new strategy here. He began saying, and then he said to his son, Son, from now on, I'm going to give you a daily allowance so that I can have fellowship with you every day and not once a year. That's why God gave manna daily. He wanted the people to trust him daily. And aren't we told that in the Bible? Give us this day our daily bread. Not just what I need to nourish my body, but Jesus is praying there, the daily bread himself. I need my portion of Jesus today, this morning, and then tomorrow morning, and the next morning. I can't store up too much because it's not fresh and new. When I was in high school, I had the blessing of having an army chaplain take me aside and said, Herrick is my full name. Herrick, I know you're preparing for Bible college and ministry. This next year, I would like to help you get strong in being a Christian so that when you enter Bible college, you'll be ready to go. And he would meet with me once a week or twice a week early in the morning and teach me and pray with me. And it was such a blessing to me. And if I were to take, where's that little, you know, my little, the little, if I, I had a little 4x6 card that I had prayer requests on. If I were to take that little 4x6 card, I could not even fill it with the things he taught me because I don't remember. One thing he taught me. And with this one thing, he didn't need to teach me another thing. He said to me, Herrick, as long as you live, wherever you go, in the morning, gather your manna to start the day. Before you do anything else, meet with God, have fellowship with Jesus, and get ready for the day. And I just want to say to anyone out there, if you're feeling weak or confused or bewildered, and if you're not gathering your manna every day, start. The way he did it was this: he introduced me to the daily bread, which we have a stack for the next month on the table. We give these out to you because if you want to start a daily time and you don't know where to start, this will give you every day a place to read. And if you want to read through the Bible in a year, there's a on the bottom, it tells you what to read, and you'll be through the Bible in a year. And if we run out of these, you can have these delivered right to your house for free, no obligation. And they come also in large print, folks, for people like us, like me. So I don't have to use a magnifying glass to read some of the small print. So that's a good way to start. If you have your own way, I'm just urging you that the lesson of manna, and when Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," it's something we need to do fresh every day. And I guarantee you this, if you begin doing this and you do it faithfully, it will transform your Christian life. And those I know, there are some of you who already do this, and you can testify with me that is a strength in your life that gives you it. As the Israelites did, those who gathered little didn't lack, and those who gathered too much didn't have any leftover. When you do this, you'll get just what you need to get through the day, not through tomorrow, but through the day. Good lesson in gathering. The next lesson is a lesson in trusting. Moving on. Verse 22. Let's go read those verses. 22 and 23. 22 to 27. I'm going to read all the way down to 27. On the sixth day, so that would be Friday, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want and boil what you want to boil." That's how they preserved the manna for the extra day. They baked or they boiled it. If you left it raw, it would rot. But if you baked it or boiled it, you could have it then for the next day as well, on the Sabbath day. "So bake what you want and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning." So they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. "Eat it today," Moses said, "because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day of the Sabbath there will not be any." Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, and they found none. What would it take to get the Israelites to be a people who believe Moses as God speaks through Moses? A lesson in trusting. God wants us to rest, and he gives us a day of rest. Now, today, Sunday is, we no longer, the Sabbath day, the Saturday does not have to be the day of rest. Since the New Testament began, Sunday has been usually the day of rest, but a day of rest is so important that we, and it's not just to rest, but it's not that we're to be out trying to earn money every day of the week, 7 days a week, to make as much as we can. We are to rest on one day and trust that God will supply. A Chinese pastor had trouble with the men of his church because they wanted to work 7 days a week. And they were greedy. They wanted to make as much as they could for themselves. He told them a story. He said, "You know, there was a man who was going to market. And on the way to market, he passed by a beggar. This man had 7 coins in his pocket for market. And he said, I need to do something to help that beggar. And out of the goodness of his heart, he gave the beggar not 1 coin or 2 coins or 3 coins. He gave them 6 coins out of the 7 and kept 1 for himself. As he began to go to the market, the beggar, rather than being grateful, attacked the man and stole from him the 7th coin. And when the Chinese men of his congregation heard this, he said, "Now, what do you think should happen to that beggar?" And they said, "He's despicable. He's inhuman. He needs the severest penalty of all. And the Chinese pastor said to his men, and what do you think when God gives you 6 days to work and earn a living, then you go and steal the seventh? There's a lesson here for us. Life is not all about just getting a few dollars more, getting ahead a little bit. It's about trusting God. And that's what the day of rest was all about. Back on the back of your scripture sheet, Deuteronomy chapter 5. Oh, excuse me. I forgot the verses about daily renewal of our faith. Let me read those. Luke 9:23. If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Acts 17:11. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures daily to see if what Paul said was true. And Lamentations 3:22 and 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I think of that verse that if I go to be with God, he is waiting to give me new compassions this morning for me, that if I don't go to meet with him, I'm losing out on. Anyway, daily renewal. But here's Deuteronomy 5, 12 to 15. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Let's move on in verses 28 to 30 with a lesson in resting. Verse 28. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. This is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where he is on the seventh day. No one is to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day. We think of the Sabbath day as a day of worship, but you know, keeping the Sabbath day holy doesn't mean going to church or worshiping. Keeping the Sabbath day holy means doing nothing, resting. That's keeping the Sabbath day holy. Now, today, Sunday, but keeping Sunday holy is resting on Sunday. Now, we do worship, and it's not wrong to worship, but even this is a kind of a restful thing that we do, except those who have to help set up for church outside here. I like the story of a proud Christian leader who was bragging to his staff at the beginning of a new year. Now, this year, I'm really going to work hard for the Lord. In fact, I'm not even planning to take a vacation or a time off this year. The devil doesn't take a vacation. Why should I? One of his staff member afterwards came up and said to him, in the Bible, did Jesus ever take time to go apart and rest? And the leader said, well, yeah, in fact, he did. He said, then who are we to follow as our example? The devil or Jesus? If my Lord Jesus, the perfect divine Son of God, needed to take time off to rest, who am I to say I don't? If I don't, you're headed for burnout. Or you're headed for a place where you're not even aware that you're in need of rest. And who knows what the end will be. A woman, by the way, in the back of your scripture sheet, George Mueller, a great Christian who founded Christian orphanages in England, said this, the stops of a Christian are ordered by the Lord as well as his steps. Stop and rest and let God re-energize you. a woman by the name of Mrs. Charles Kalman, who lived from 1870 to 1960. She wrote the daily devotional book called Streams in the Desert, one that I've read many, many years ago. But she talks about how sometimes God brings us to a period of rest for a purpose. And she uses the analogy of music, that in a musical score, sometimes there's a rest and you stop the music. And here she said this, there is no music in a rest, but there is the making of music in it. There is no music in a rest, but there is the making of music in it. And those of you who are musicians, which I am not, you know that rests are as much a part of the music as the music itself. Here's what she wrote. There is no music in a rest, but there is making of music in it. In our whole life melody, the music is broken off here and there by rests. And we foolishly think that we have come to the end of the tune. God sends a time of forced leisure, sickness, disappointment, frustrated efforts to make a sudden pause in the choral hymn of our lives. And we lament that our voices must be silent and our part missing in the music which ever goes up to the ear of the Creator. It is not without design that God writes the music of our lives. Ours is to learn the tune and not be dismayed at the rests. They are not to be slurred over, not to be omitted, not to destroy the melody. If we sadly say to ourselves, there is no music in a rest, let us not forget, there is making of music in it. Thoughtful, wise words. We've been forced to rest. The fires have forced us to rest. The COVID has forced us to rest. And we get bored. We get frustrated. We get anxious because there's nothing to do. We can't do what we want to do. We have to rest. And I don't know what God is doing in your life through this period of rest, but he's doing something. Trust him. He's doing something in my life. I don't know what. Really, to be honest with you, I can't say this is what God is doing in my life, but because I'm in a period of rest, there's a purpose in it. As we finish the text, there's a lesson in remembering. Verse 31 to 33, the people of Israel called the bread manna, again, which means in Hebrew, what is it? It was white like coriander seed. By the way, coriander seed, when it leaves out, that's cilantro. Coriander seed is the seed of the cilantro plant. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna, keep it for the generations to come so that they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the desert when I brought you out of Egypt. So this manna that they kept for generations, it didn't rot. It stayed good. Moses said to Aaron, take a jar, put an omer of manna in it, then place it before the Lord to be kept for the generations to come. Now, eventually, that went into the Ark of the Covenant. That was placed in the Ark of the Covenant. A lesson in remembering. We always need to remember what God is doing. And there are symbols for that remembrance. Every week, every month, we take the Lord's Supper, a beautiful remembrance of the Lord's Supper. I read of a king, a French king who had come from a very humble upbringing, being a shepherd. And he had in his palace the shepherd's room where he kept his staff, he kept some clothing, he kept some wool. And he said to himself, if ever my heart is tempted to haughtiness and pride, I will go into that room to remind myself of what I once was. I remember in a church years ago, a man who had come to the Lord, invited me over to his house and took me into his basement. He said, Pastor, I want to show you something. And he took me into his basement and he showed me some photographs of himself. He said, this was me when I was homeless on the streets. And this is me when I was entering rehab for my alcohol addiction. And he said, now look at these documents. He had a document of a foreclosure on a house that he once owned. He had his divorce papers that he had saved. He had an arrest warrant that he had saved in his scrapbook. And I said, what's this? Isn't this depressing? All these pictures, all these documents. He said, Pastor, I never want to forget where I was when Jesus found me. That's what the manna was. Don't ever forget that you were in the wilderness, and if it weren't for the manna, you would have no hope and you would not be alive today. Final thought on the back of your scripture sheet, Psalm 103, 1 to 2. Let's go home with this verse. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Let all that was within me praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We have a lot of problems right now. We have a lot of grief, sadness, fears. Don't forget the benefits of God. The fact that we're here this morning, the fact that our loved ones, for all we know, are safe, thank God for his benefits. Don't forget his benefits. And one of the ways you do that is every morning, go out and collect your manna. So if you take something home from this today, if you're not doing this, find something, find a room in your house. What I do, I just go out and take a walk every morning for about 2 miles. And that's my manna gathering time. I don't take my Bible with me. I do that later. But I just talk to God. I converse with Jesus. I don't hear him. It's not like I'm going out of my mind or anything. This is something that my soul does to refresh my soul. So that when morning activities start, I've been fed. And I'm just saying to you, that is something that will transform your walk with God. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Let all that is within me praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Are we going to have a final? Okay, let's pray. Lord God Almighty, we are so grateful that you are a God who blesses us, watches over us day by day, provides manna for us, that everlasting manna, Jesus himself, whose spirit lives within our spirits, who comes and manifests himself in so many ways, Lord, who speaks to us through his word, through the Holy Spirit, and refreshes us every day. May we not be like the Israelites, Lord, who did not obey, but every time God spoke, they challenged God. May we take to heart what we have read. May we learn from this lesson today to gather every morning the manna you give us freely. Thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.